Hello and welcome to the Walk Off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. Although, here's the thing. Yes, this is being released Tuesday afternoon if you were on Patreon. However, Adam and I are playing the Fort McMurray Casino up in northern Alberta tonight. So we are trying to get this in here and at least lay it down. And as you can tell, we're without our microphones and our bells and whistles, but we figured an episode is better than no episode. So this is
Absolutely.
what we're doing. Adam is in one room just across the floor from me here, and we're doing a Zoom call. So it is what it is. But we do have lots of comments to get to. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. We obviously comb through all of our Twitter DMs, our Insta DMs. You can get a hold of us at Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, the Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. We go through our Discord, which is always open. All you got to do is send us a quick message and we'll send you a link to get in. And then, of course, we comb through our Patreon messages and we really appreciate everyone who supports the channel that way. Without further ado, we'll get right into this here. All yours, Mr. Mack.
All right. Series of comments regarding Addison Barger. Obviously, we talked to Addison Barger on Long Toss this Sunday. A lot of love for the kid.
Yes.
Maybe too much love is the general consensus in the comment section. And I understand it. Let's tap the brakes. Let's not get our hopes up. I get it. Small sample size. But we got probably a dozen comments, more or less saying, it's been two games, guys. Calm down. Small sample size. What do you say to that?
I mean, there is some truth to that, obviously, and a prospect is still a prospect until they prove otherwise. I don't know if it was over excitement, and maybe I misread some of the other panelists on Long Toss on Sunday's excitement. I felt like it was more the sentiment of we could have a real piece here. When there's still a question mark, but he's looked really good. And Addison Barger hasn't just come out of nowhere, by the way. This isn't just like, I mean, the it's two games thing. I
This isn't
mean,
2 years of pro, this isn't two games of pro ball where we drafted him last year out of college. He's been through the organization. 2018, he started
yeah,
the
so
Blue
he's
Jays.
coming up, like this is his fifth season of professional baseball within this Blue Jays organization. And as we mentioned on Long Toss, he has struggled at times. And there's something about a young kid who has to overcome obstacles and find themselves. And that's exactly what Addison Barger has done over the years. And he really.
It puts calluses on your hands, Scott.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. That's the metaphor. It puts calluses on your hand. In this case, you know, it is your mental fortitude, if you will. And Addison Barger has some mental fortitude. He's been through the ringer. He came into spring in the best shape he possibly could. And I know, Adam, you mentioned too, he's got some zip to him. He's got some get up and go. You see him burst out of that batter's box when he hit that double. And it's exciting to see a kid hustling like he's hustling. That said, yes, agreed. It's 2 days and let's pump the brakes. And no, he's not our full-time third baseman in 2024. We don't know what's going to happen yet, but there is reasons to be optimistic. And if we're being honest, and I know we were talking about this on the drive up, Adam, he could knock some guys off. It's not,
Well,
we already, we
that's
know,
more
like,
where
listen.
my enthusiasm for Addison Barger comes. Is like, is he the heir apparent at third base? I don't want to say that. Like
Yeah.
Matt Chapman, big shoes to fill. The body's not even cold on Matt Chapman yet. Let's calm down there. But the talk was, I think, revolved around the threat that he poses to Kevin Biggio's job. And for me, if we're going to talk sample size, that's the measure I care about is We always catch ourselves, Scott, whenever we're talking anyone, whether it's Santiago Espinal off to a great start, whether it's Alejandro Kirk, Vladdy, and the career that he's projecting to have. We're always quick to catch ourselves on it's a small sample size. But what do we always say? I would rather a small sample size that's encouraging than a small sample size that's discouraging.
Absolutely. And I mean,
So
let's
here's
just
where.
talk the age of these. Like, Whit Merrifield's 33. Kevin Biggio's going on 29 here. Same with Santiago Espinal. And we more or less know what these guys are, right?
That's where I'm at with the sample size talk is, look, Addison Barger, great season last year across all three levels. Started in Vancouver, went to New Hampshire, finished the season in Buffalo for eight games. He played 69 in Vancouver, hit 300. Got promoted to Double A, hit even better, hit 313. Went to Triple A, ended the season, hit 355, with a slugging in the 500s all the way along, by the way. So
Now, yes, that is in
it's
eight
still
games in AAA, but
sure.
still.
Look, it's 120 games across all levels last year. And yeah, I know it's minor leagues, but if we're talking about Kevin Biggio's job, this is where it's like, okay, it's a small sample of Addison Barger that is very encouraging versus 300 plus career games out of Kevin Biggio. That has gotten him to a 228 career batting average. All I'm saying is one guy shows electric upside, the other guy
We
kind of
know
is
what
what
he
he is.
is.
And it's
Yes.
just the comparable of like these are left-handed hitting utility guys, right? Where again, I'm not saying that Addison Barger. We should pencil him in as our third baseman next year. I'm saying we should see what we got in the kid.
Yes.
And the ceiling is higher at this point in both careers on Addison Barger than it is for Kevin Biggio. Kevin Biggio's ceiling feels like Santiago Espinal, and maybe not even that. Am I off on Kevin Biggio? I've been
No,
a Kevin Biggio apologist. The life of this show. For four seasons, we've been doing this podcast, and I've been saying Kevin Biggio, and I've been apologizing for him. And we got once he gets healthy, once he gets right, we're 335 games in, 228 batting average with a OPS of 740, and it's been well under 700 for the last two seasons. So.
Every season, there is a prospect that isn't the highest touted prospect, maybe isn't on that top 100 Baseball American prospect list, that comes out and does some big things for their team. Michael Harris II with Atlanta is a great example last year. And what gave Michael Harris the chance to do what he did? An opportunity. And that's all that I want to get to with Addison Barger is there is an opportunity for him to get some playing time in Toronto and to actually, if he succeeds, be given some leeway to bump some guys off. Not every prospect has that opportunity. There's not a hole in this roster for every guy coming up, but Barger is a dude who could truly play his way onto this team.
Kevin Biggio's numbers from last, because here's my argument for keeping Barger in Triple A, despite whatever he is showing in spring training, right? Again, small sample size, sure. But if he's gonna show the kind of athleticism that he's been showing, like explosive speed, the hustle is there, right? The only reason I would want to keep him in AAA is because of like if he's not going to play regularly, right? You'd rather him get reps in AAA than just sit on the bench and be a Otto Lopez for the Blue Jays,
Yes.
right? That is no good for his development. But again, Kevin Biggio is a comparable 97 games last year, 300 plate appearances, 202 batting average. That's 97 games. I at this point rather at least try Addison Bergeron. Would you not agree
No,
with
I
me
agree.
there? Like, you know,
100%.
maybe he struggles through
100%.
April and May, and then you go, what? You know what? Addison Bergeron's hitting 185. Let's send him back down. And then
Yeah.
it is what it is. But all right. Are we talked
All
ourselves out
that,
on this whole topic yet?
all that to say, yeah, small sample size. We know. We are cooled on. Like, you know, I agree. Let's not hype this kid up to the point where we're Nate Pearsoning him, but you know, there's some potential there, and there's an opportunity for him to make this team.
There's also that weird side motivation of like Matt Chapman is in his walk year. So
Yes.
we do have to make a decision on Matt Chapman. Knowing what you have available as a replacement
Helps
factors
make
into
that
that
decision.
decision,
Absolutely.
period, right? So if we're looking at, look, do we have anyone available? Like if we go into this offseason thinking, oh yeah, we can let Matt Chapman walk because Kevin Biggio can play third base. Bleh, puke on that idea, right? So if that's the option and it's an unknown in Addison Barger or Elvis Martinez or whoever, then yeah, I feel like we should absolutely pay Matt Chapman to keep him around if that's the case, right? Give him 180 over 6 years or whatever it's going to cost to keep him around, right? But that's less money for everyone else, all the obvious conversation that goes with that. So if you have a kid who like could,
Can do it, yes.
like not even can do it, could do it, you
Can
owe it to yourself from like a financial standpoint to be like, let's see if he can. You know, let's see how he handles the hot corner in 20 games this season. You know, let's see what his batting average looks like after 300, 400 plate appearances this year, you know, and then if all of a sudden, no, he falls back down to earth and he looks kind of human again, then you go, all right, well, at least we know. So there's value in that. There's value in that. All right, let's move on from Addison Barger, unless there's anything else you wanted to add.
I think we were pretty thorough.
All right. Now we're gonna pivot and take some comments from our Patreon. First one comes in from Wyatt. Wyatt says, hey fellas, for Monday's mailbag, I really need you to convince me. Oh, here's a good timing. Really need you to convince me Matt Chapman will not take Josh Donaldson's place and become a Yankee with Machado no longer being a free agent next season.
I can't do that. I wish I could, Wyatt. I wish I could. Honestly,
Feels like a
New
perfect
York,
fit for the Yankees, doesn't he?
for the Mets as well, and both those
Well,
pockets are pretty darn deep. I mean, both New York teams could really use a third baseman next year.
so that's my only argument for maybe he's not a Yankee is he'll hopefully be a Met if he's not a Blue Jay for whatever that's worth. I mean, we just saw they have a Carlos Correa sized contract available to spend. I don't think Matt Chapman gets a Carlos Correa sized contract, but
No, the $200 million he gets will be a bargain to Steve
that's what I
Cohen and the
mean, right? It's going to be
Mets.
so appetizing. That being said, does it ever seem like a left-handed hitting power hitter with that short right field porch in Yankee Stadium would fit in nicely? Yeah, especially with the batting of the shift. Ugh, makes me sick. Josh Donaldson, I think, is still with the Yankees this year. Going to be 100 years old next year. They're going to need a replacement at third base. Matt Chapman just makes so much sense. Look, I hope he hits 50 bombs this year and wins an MVP and then gets $300 million from someone that's not the Blue Jays. And I hope he has a World Series ring to show off as well.
I think that would be just lovely. There's no way I'd rather see Matt Chapman go elsewhere than with a World Series ring on his finger.
Love it. All right. Thanks for the comment, Wyatt, and the support on Patreon. Next one comes in from Patreon as well. Dunedin Bob,
Ah, Mr.
longtime
Bob,
supporter of
I
the
love
show.
it.
Pretty sure Bob dates back to year one with us.
Yes, he
So,
does. He was with us when we were horrible.
you mean yesterday? I know someone's going to comment, oh, you mean today? Anyways,
Yeah.
Dunedin Bob says, are either of you coming to spring training in Dunedin this year? If so, look for the guy in the WestJet center field area with a SpaceX cap drinking excessive amounts of overpriced beer. We are
Well,
not going to Dunedin.
unfortunately, we're not, but yes, the rest of the walk-off community, go say hello to Bob in the WestJet flight deck there. Or what's it called? The patio or whatever in Dunedin?
Yeah, something. I guess the flight deck's Rogers Center, right?
Yeah.
Do they have a mini flight deck? I don't know.
They do something like that. Either way,
Something like
WestJet's
that.
getting a lot of love here on this for not ever
Aren't they
chipping in.
ever? Either way. All right. Next one as well comes in from Patreon. So JP messaged and said, "Hey guys, love the walk off. New Patreon supporter. Thank you for the support, JP. Truly, we're approaching 50 on the Patreon, and it's just incredible. We got a lot of fun stuff in the works. Trivia night was supposed to be tonight, but obviously we're doing comedy, so conflict of schedule. That's been pushed back a week. Moneyball trivia night next week. Few other plans in the works that we're working on to make that Patreon community the place to be. But we appreciate the support, JP. So let's get to your question. Discord newbie, can you please invite, okay, I won't read your name, I guess for privacy reasons maybe, to your Discord server. So yes, JP, as soon as I'm off here, I will add you to the Discord server. And then also Scott said, heading to a Jays game this summer, semicolon, great use of the semicolon. Is there a thought of a walk-off get-together at Rogers Center? Thanks. Scott, floor is yours.
That is just so great to hear because Adam and I on the drive up were bouncing some ideas off about maybe doing some live podcasts in Toronto in June. We don't have a date exactly lined up. We're not sure exactly the ins and out of this, but we would love to hear if there's some interest here from you folks in the GTA. Feel free to drop a comment below. But I think meet up at Rogers Center. I know Adam even said, you know, what would be really cool is to do the podcast before the game and then everyone, all of us go down at once. Now, I don't know how insane that is, but that would be just a complete blast. So, yes, are there things in the works? Yes, there are. And hopefully we have more details for you in the coming weeks.
Now, you mentioned if there's folks in the GTA area. What if there's folks, maybe not in Toronto, that are just planning on going to a Jays game at some point this year? Let's line our
Then
schedules up,
let's
folks.
line all of our schedules up. All of
You
us
know,
massive Jays fans coming from all over. Let's do it.
the convenient thing too is whether you're on the West Coast or the East Coast, Toronto conveniently located smack dab in the center of Canada. All right. Thanks for the support, JP, again. And I think that's a fun idea. But yeah, we'll just put that out to the general
I think it's a
walk-off
great
community and let
idea.
us
Yeah.
know if that's something you'd be interested in. We can make something like that work out. So, okay. Next one comes in from Twitter. Darian DM'd us and said, got a notification pop up about Ricky. Not even Ricky Tiedemann, Scott. This is just Ricky. Is Ricky on
Yes.
first name basis? Is he Cher?
Within the Blue Jays community of fandom,
Wow.
he is just Ricky at this point.
Just Ricky. All right. Ricky making his spring debut. And wow, if he has a good spring and AAA and Kikuchi is struggling, might be Ricky time. A little bit early this year. So, Ricky pitched
This is
today, depending on when you
Ricky
see this,
did
maybe
pitch.
yesterday. Looked good. I have his numbers here. So, pitched against the Tigers. And the line looks like this: one inning pitched, zeros across the board, except for that old strikeout column. Two strikeouts in three batters' face. Threw 12 pitches, nine for strikes. So,
Not too shabby. It's not too shabby, and I know that there is a member of Blue Jays Twitter that has some, I think the best way of putting it is just some really solid baseball takes and is obviously a baseball mind themselves. It's at Varsho underscore. Anyways, it's Damon, and he tweeted this out. Okay, it's in quotes here. It says, he's let it be known multiple times over the winter that he's on the Alek Manoah timeline. He plans to be up in Toronto by June. He's openly challenged the front office to start him at AAA right out of the get-go. That's on Ricky Tiedemann from Someone I Trust, he says. Still, nonetheless, he's a confident kid, and you get that feeling even after the game today. You see the press conference and you see him talk. The kid believes that he's a big leaguer.
Well, I'm sure all those people that are saying Addison Barger, comma, it's been two games, are the same people that are saying Ricky is a future Hall of Famer. Get this kid up now. So, all right, yeah, a lot of love for Ricky, I guess. You know what? Hey, I'll tell you what. As someone who comes up with YouTube titles and thumbnails for a living, if it can just be Ricky and I don't have to Google how to spell his last name anymore, that's less work for me. So I'm all for it. Ricky or Ricky T.
My phone is finally helping me out. It'll just like come up. I've spelled TEI and then had to stop and go and look it up enough times that my phone's like, here it is, idiot.
Fun fact, if you go to Google and you type in Arnold S and then you just like punch the keyboard and any like 100 letters come up, it will suggest, did you mean Arnold Schwarzenegger? So
Amazing.
there you go. Ricky, I wish him a healthy season. Whatever else comes of it, I'm sure is good things. If he's healthy, he's going to impress, I'm sure. Okay, a lot of love for Ricky Tiedemann there. Two more to get to, and then we'll get out of here, Scott. We got to get ready for our big date at the Comedy Club tonight. So,
Yes.
Built to Thrill, great name, on Twitter messaged and said, "Hey boys, great job on the Hagen Danner interview. Might be my
Ah,
favorite to
yes.
date. You guys think he makes the team this year?"
Haggy D is such a character. I just love the dude. And he is incredibly generous with his time. He's been on the show a couple times. We've already got him lined up to come on once he, gets assigned to wherever he's going, most likely AAA. Do we think he makes the team? I'm going to say right now, I don't think he makes the team out of spring training and for numerous reasons. Okay. This is the list. So there's most likely going to be eight guys in the bullpen. This is the list of dudes who I think are almost guaranteed to be there. Jordan Romano is making this team. Obviously, he's in the bullpen. Eric Swanson's there. Anthony Bass. Jimmy Garcia is there. Tim Mayza is a no doubter. Adam Simber is a no doubter. Trevor Richards is going to make this team. We'll see what happens from there. But even if he's horrible in spring, I think Trevor Richards makes this team. Mitch White is out of options. There is no way that this front office DFAs Mitch White. He is going to
Great point.
start in the bullpen. Now, there are some caveats here. All right. Number one, Mitch White had a tweak in his arm, and he has been escalated down, de-escalated in his routine. Okay. So he's going to need to build back up. Who knows if he starts right out of the gate?
Hey, by the way, when you go to the mall, you know those like electronic stairs that move for you, the escalators?
Yes.
Do you call the downwards ones de-escalators?
I most certainly do not.
You got to start, my friend.
I'm always escalating, but I will start. Let's hop on the de-escalator. I like
Yeah,
that.
let's go grab the de-escalator and head down to the food court.
But
All right, sorry, continue with your.
that list I gave you is the eight guys I think we're going to see start in the bullpen, barring any bad tacos. Okay. Now, here's the list of dudes who have options. Listen, Zach Pop should probably be in the list of guys I just said. He might get to start in AAA because he does have options and can be yo-yoed up and down. Okay. But these are the other guys who are on the bubble: Hagen Danner, Nate Pearson. Chad Green is injured right now, but he's coming back probably July or August. Thomas Hatch is going to be a dude on the bubble. Zach Thompson, who is brought in from Pittsburgh for Chavez Young, friend of the show. He's on the bubble there. Trent Thornton and Jasper
Did you
Zulueta.
mention Erik Swanson in your eight?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I must have been talking de-escalator over you and I missed it. Yeah, I mean, it's that is a very likely outcome for the final 26-man roster. Would be an odd move for this front office to give a chance to a guy right out of spring training. Like, there's just, you want to get off to that good start to the season and have your veteran guys that you know and trust, and you want to have as few question marks for John Schneider to consider as possible, right? When you're going to the bullpen, you want to just have, okay, this is my guy for this situation, this is my guy for this situation, and more or less know what he's got in those guys. And to bring up a guy like Hagen Danner or even a Nate Pearson or whatever, and just to have it be an unknown variable of like, well, MLB debut and the pressure of this, and it's more valuable to have that guy available as an injury replacement, right? Or as a, oh, you know, Kikuchi threw one inning, so we really tired out our bullpen today. So now
And
we
now
got
we
to
need to
get
bring
creative and
somebody
bring up
up.
Hagen Danner and whatever, right? So that's gotta be.
Long story short, do I think Hagen Danner is going to make this team this year? Yes. At some point, I do think Haggy D is going to get the opportunity to pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays out of the bullpen. Is he going to stick? Performance will indicate that. And maybe not even because we watched Matt Gage not get an opportunity after literally dominating with the Blue Jays when he was given his chance. Of course, he's now all the best to him as he's in. Who picked him up? I should.
I'll look it up, yeah.
Either way, I'm going to keep talking and you can do a quick Google here. But
Houston
Zach Paul,
Astros.
Houston Astros, which goes to show you he was good, right? Like the Astros made room for Matt Gage on their 40-man roster and the Blue Jays did not.
Matt Gage had 13 innings pitched last year, 6 walks, 12 strikeouts. And 2 earned runs. So he had a whip under 1.0923 and an ERA of 1.38 and a left-handed pitcher.
And
Makes
was
me
the
think,
closer in Buffalo.
look, he's 30. That's the strike against him. Just turned 30 this month. I don't know if the Blue Jays just thought we have younger options.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was.
I mean, we just talked with Addison Barger off the top, right? Like sometimes you've just got a guy and there's a log jam situation or whatever. And it's like, do we want Matt Gage closing AAA games or would we rather see Hagen Danner get that shot?
Yeah. And
You
I think
know?
you're right. I think you're right. And I mean, even if you just go over this list of
Or
bullpen
Nate
names that,
Pearson, or you come up with the names, right? But yeah, sorry,
well,
go
that we
ahead.
just talked about, right? Like, that's the thing. Hagen Danner, Yosser Zulueta, Nate Pearson, and Chad Green are all going to wind up pitching on this team at some point. They're going to be given their opportunity. They all have incredible stuff and big arms, which is exactly what the back end of this bullpen could use. So they're going to be given their opportunities. Right now, the bullpen shapes up nicely, though. And Zach Pop is such a wild card because Zach Pop's stuff is absolutely incredible. But Canadian kid who has options. So again, like we're Trevor Richards' rope is getting shorter and shorter. But again, Trevor Richards has, if not the best changeup in all of baseball, it is a top three pitch. And that's why he's still on this team. It is why this organization has refused to DFA him when there were plenty of opportunities and probably even maybe should have last year over some of the guys they did. However, they're going on his track record, they're going on what he did for this team in 2021. And they're hoping that he can return to the form that he was in, which was a whip just over one and an ERA around 3.5. Not that ERA matters all that much for
I mean,
relievers.
Trevor Richards, again, 30-year-old guy, 1 year, $1.5 million left on his deal with the Blue Jays. This is a guy who, yeah, if he's struggling, if he's not back to his 2021 form, and we do have good
He's
options in
gone.
Triple A, he's an I don't want to say an easy DFA candidate, but an obvious choice of, you
Yes.
know, it's like, yeah, it's either put up or shut up. And, you know, we got four guys who want your spot. So the competition on this Blue Jays organization is as good as it's ever been. It's great to see. I also
It's
wonder just if the
exciting,
Met.
man. It's exciting that there's this kind of depth, you know?
It really is. I do wonder if with the Matt Gage situation, if it didn't play out something like a human, like a favor, guy to guy. Look, if you guys aren't going to use me, can you not protect me so that I can maybe have a chance with another organization, right? Like, if you think that I'm your guy, let me show you. But if you're not going to, let me walk and let me prove it somewhere else, right? Like, you do see that sort of stuff happen from time to time. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a factor in Matt Gage, because we were all kind of surprised by when he left the team. Was like looking at his numbers last year, and
And the
didn't
lack of
seem like,
left-handed options within this
yeah.
organization, it just seemed weird. He was such a good story too, you know, had never played in the big leagues, got his shot with Toronto, you know, and
And
I
yeah,
reached out
story
to
only
him.
gets you so far, but those numbers were good.
Yeah.
Like when we used him, he didn't have a single game where he got blown up. He gave a
Yeah.
one home run in 13 innings. Like, anyways, Matt Gage, a lot of love for Matt Gage,
A
friend of the
lot of
show.
love for
But
Matt Gage and all the best to him in Houston, as long as it's not against the Jays. I know I did reach out to him on Twitter and just said, hey, thanks again, man, for all of the generosity with your time. Because Matt came on the show several different times, which was very cool. And yeah, all the best to him.
all right, last comment to get to, and then we're out of here. Comes from Original Blute Smoking. Posted one of Keegan Matheson's tweets, ranking the Blue Jays' top 30 prospects. By the way, Keegan Matheson coming on the
Yes,
show next week.
he is
So,
joining us on Monday. So MLB.com reporter and of course born and bred East Coaster, Halifaxer for life. So Keegan Matheson joining us. Excited for that.
there you go. So Keegan Matheson had a tweet ranking his top 30 Blue Jays, and Original Blunt Smoking here just wanted to say, I'm honestly a bit shocked that Ferreira is a top two, considering he hasn't pitched a single professional inning. Makes me think the scouts are in love with his stuff.
Brandon Barriera is right next to Ricky Tiedemann in this organization. And if he can make some of the same steps that Tiedemann did last year, I think we're going to see a lot of hype around this kid. He's got incredible stuff. And when it comes to this Blue Jays organization, they have always leaned a little bit more towards drafting college players. Just a little bit more experience, a little bit more life experience, even, and maturity as young men. But Barriera and Tiedemann were high school draftees, drafted at 18, needed a lot of development, and it's working out. Both of them could be very, very integral pieces to this organization going forward to the future. And that's the dream. And I know, Adam, when we had Jeff Blair on the show, remember when he was talking about the pitching lab and that Ricky Tiedemann is really the first pitcher that is coming out of the lab? And what he means by that is that the amount of technology, the amount of work one-on-one, the facility is so incredible and has allowed them to do some things where they're almost manipulating the development in certain ways, right? So we talked about Ricky Tiedemann only having 78 innings of pro ball experience. And Jeff Blair said, but you know what? He's kind of the first lob pitcher this Jays organization has developed. And maybe they don't want to waste bullets in the minor league if he looks like he can do it. And Barriere is kind of on the same sort of trajectory. So it's really interesting to see these young guys being developed within the confines of this facility. I'm really curious to see how this plays out for both of them.
Can I take a pessimist standpoint on
Yes.
prospect rankings? I always am dismissive of anyone ranked highly that we just drafted or that we just acquired. There is a recency bias, maybe. I don't know. There is a tendency to err on the side of
Optimism.
optimism and what could be, like. He's our first round draft pick from this past year. The year before, Gunnar Hoglund was one of our top as well. And it's like these guys that come in haven't shown anything, but it feels like it's just well, if the Jays felt good enough to draft him in the first round, he must be good. And I don't know if there is a deeper dive into it. Like when we look at the list and we're going down here, like Ricky Tiedemann, then Barriera, then Zulueta, then Martinez. Like, has Barriera, well, he hasn't done anything to overtake Yosser Zulueta, right?
He's younger.
Other
That's about
than
it. Other than
he's a
he's
high
younger.
draft pick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whenever I scroll down the list and I go, oh, yeah, CJ Van Eyck was a top 10 prospect 3 years ago, right? He had an injury plague season that's kind of taken him off of the
Yeah.
radar or whatever. But like, this is how, these guys just, their prospect rankings get inflated because
Because they were taken at a high point of the draft. No, I agree with you for sure.
it's just it's an easy way to ranking 30 guys. And look, we had this issue with Anthony Recker when he was, had his beef or his whatever the issue was with Alek Manoah, where he's like nitpicking Alek Manoah's size and his work ethic in the gym and whatever. It's like when you're splitting hairs among the best of the best, it's just a differentiator is all you're looking for, right? So I kind of feel like that's where we're at with prospects, where it's like, well, Tiedemann looks great, Zulueta looks great, Barriera looks great. Well, he was drafted in the first round, he's the new guy, let's put him close to the top. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Semro Burch should be a top five prospect, but
I mean, he's sitting at number seven and he sure looked good today. What was it? Two innings? Two
don't have the stats in
strikeouts?
front of me now. Two
Either way,
strikeouts and a walk or something, but
Semro Burch is another pitcher to be really excited about within this Blue Jays organization. And he's 21 years old and has been pitching with this team since he was 18, an international free agent out of the Netherlands. Of course, friend of the show, he's been on a couple times and knock on wood, hopefully returns. So yeah, a lot of pitching prospects to be excited about in this Blue Jays organization for the first time in a long time. Pitching was
very true.
always kind of the place where they were all about middle infielders. That's where their big success was. So it's good to see this.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, Scott.
Sounds good. Let's wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. If you're on Patreon, of course, we truly appreciate you. To everybody else, we appreciate you as well, obviously. Feel free to join the Discord. All you got to do is shoot us a DM and we'll send you a link. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. All the best, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
Cheers. Have a good night, Dad.